بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. If you recall last time we met, we discussed about the things that a muhrim must avoid, he must not wear. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told us that a muhrim should not wear shirts, should not wear turbans, should not wear trousers, should not wear a head cloak or anything that has a hood on it, and should not wear shoes unless he cannot find slippers. So if he cannot find slippers, he must cut his shoes. And he told us that a woman must not wear the niqab nor the gloves if she's in the state of ihram. And a man should not wear anything that is perfumed with saffron or dyed with wars. Saffron is a perfume and a dye as well for the clothes. The Prophet forbade this. Now, from this hadith, we learn that you cannot wear t-shirts under your ihram. You cannot wear underwear under your ihram. How about if a person has a shirt yet he does not put his sleeves in, he wears it on his shoulders? Is this permissible? Anything you wear on your shoulders is permissible. So if I get trousers and I put them on my shoulders, it's okay. What's not okay is to put my hands inside. And likewise, if a person, you know the ihram, the waist wrapper, it is open. We usually do this and do this and do this and then put a belt on it. If someone comes and says, I don't want to do this, I want to sew it from top to bottom, so it becomes like a skirt. You know, skirts of women? It's a white towel, but it is sewed so that he can wear it like this without any problem of opening. Scholars say this is permissible. Huh? Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ told us what not to wear. Do we have this description in what the Prophet said, don't wear? Then this means it's okay. The Prophet says, do not wear shirts. So if I bring this thobe and I just put it on my shoulders, I don't wear it, I just put it on my shoulders as if it's a towel, this is permissible. The Prophet ﷺ told us that if you do not have slippers, don't cut it. Wear your shoes until you find slippers. If you don't have a waist wrapper, wear your trousers until you find the waist wrapper. And this is very important for people who come without the intention of ihram. Or someone sits from Mumbai to Jeddah on a flight for the reason of Umrah, and just before the miqat, he looks into his handbag and he remembers that he did not pack the ihram. Or his wife, instead of putting it in his handbags, she puts it with the luggage. What does he do? He cannot stop the plane and he cannot go back. So scholars say he must make ihram as he is. Does he have to make them? No, because this is his ability. So he makes ihram. If he has something on his head, he should take it, because this is something he can take off. But trousers, shirts, what to do? I cannot take it. So say labbaik Allahumma umrah. Once you land and you're able to find your ihram or to buy one, immediately you have to remove this and wear your ihram. So this is what we learned from the hadith. Now we come to the issue of the niqab of a woman. What is the meaning of niqab? Niqab is derived from the Arabic word naqaba. And naqaba means to make a hole. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf. فَمَا اسْطَاعُوا أَنْ يَظْهَرُوهُ وَمَا اسْتَطَاعُوا لَهُ نَقْبَ. نَقْبَ meaning they could not drill it. So the niqab is to have a mask, no, to have a veil that has an opening for the eyes. This opening is called niqab. So the niqab for a woman is exactly like a shirt for a man. The man enters his hands in the sleeves and the woman can see with her sight from the niqab. So it is exactly the same. So what to do? Scholars say that if there are no men, she should uncover. But if there's one man who is not a mahram present or in the road or can see her, she must cover her face with a veil that does not have any opening. And the evidence behind this is Aisha and Asma, may Allah be pleased with them, that they performed Hajj with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and they used to uncover. And whenever the riders came, because they're in a caravan, so someone may ride fast, someone may ride back. So if there were men coming, they would lower their veils and cover their faces. And it's an authentic hadith. So a woman who is in the state of ihram must not wear the veil, but she must cover her face. What about the gloves? She is not permitted to wear the gloves, but she can cover her hand through her abaya, through her dress. Anyhow, moving on to the following hadith that deals with at-talbiyah. I think it's hadith 215. Is it? Yes, who will read it for us?
The talbiyah of Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was labbaik Allahumma labbaik labbaik la sharika laka labbaik innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. I respond to your call, O Allah. I respond to your call. You have no partner. I respond to your call. All the praises and blessings are for you. All the sovereignty is for you. And you have no partners with you. Ibn Umar used to add, Labbaik, Labbaik, wa sa'daik, wal khayru biyadaik, wal raghba'u ilayka wal amal.
Okay. In this hadith, Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, is telling us about the talbiyah. What is the talbiyah? It is what you heard. To continuously say, Oh Allah, I'm coming. Oh Allah, I'm responding. Oh Allah, I'm obedient to you. So you say, Labbaik Allahumma labbaik labbaik la sharika laka labbaik innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. And you keep on doing it. This is known in fiqh as at-talbiyah. You are doing the action of labbaik. You're saying labbaik. So they call this talbiyah. Like when you say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, they shorten it and they say, Hawqala. When you say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, they call it Basmala. When you say, Allahu Akbar, they say it Takbir. When you say, La ilaha illallah, they call it Tahleel. Tahleel. And when you say, Subhanallah, this is called Tasbih. We have a short break. Stay tuned, inshallah. We'll be right back.